You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I had a chat with Great Barrier Reef Foundation Managing Director Anna Marsden, possible relation to Samuel, if you know that guy. Now, the Great Barrier Reef is pretty darn great, but she's in a bit of a sorry state as a result of the changing environment in which she sits. So the foundation, working with some universities in Australia, has developed a sun shield, which is 50,000 times thinner than the human hair, completely biodegradable. So the group hopes this film will sit on top of the water as a potential weapon to fight to protect the Great Barrier Reef.
Like a thin glad wrap layer over top of last night's curry in my microwave this morning.
More or less, but a little bit thinner. 50,000 times thinner than the human hair.
Can I just say how nice it is to have you in studio for once, Jack? It's a real pleasure. It does change the dynamics of the show.
It feels good, you know? So first up, I spoke with Miss Marsden to give us a bit of an overview of the state of Australia's coral beds. Do you mind giving us kind of an overview of the current state of the coral reef in Australia?
Sure. So, I mean, Australia has a number of coral reefs, but I guess we're most famous and renowned for the Great Barrier Reef because it is the largest reef in the world and it has the most diversity. So it's certainly seen as the poster child for all things that happen to coral reefs, but there is no doubt over the last 2 years coral reefs around the world have been under unprecedented challenges and pressures, and we've lost a significant amount of coral around the world as a result of what has been back-to-back coral bleaching events on a mass scale. And then in Australia, we've also had the accumulated impact of Tropical Cyclone Debbie, which really hit the Whitsundays area almost a year ago now. And so as a result of that, we've always had threats to coral reefs. They've always been powerful and resilient ecosystems, but they've also been quite fragile in their own way. But they've had a style where they've been able to recover naturally from all the different events and disturbances that Mother Nature has thrown their way. But increasingly, those disturbances are getting larger, and they're happening with a frequency that the inherent resilience of corals is not enough for them to recover themselves. So the Great Barrier Reef, you could still go out on a boat today and see the most spectacular underwater city you've ever seen. Lots of fish, lots of beautiful coral, lots of beautiful animals and activity. But there are parts of the reef, predominantly in the top third, that are really showing signs of strain. And you can certainly see parts of the coral that have been lost, and also you're seeing parts that are slowly recovering and regrowing.
Yeah, because the reefs are really these, you know, giant homes for ecosystems and fish and everything, so they help keep the oceans alive in a lot of ways.
They absolutely are, and I think it's one of those things where if they weren't covered in water, we would be more acutely aware of these underwater cities. But they are robust ecosystems, but they're also quite fragile in their design, and there is a real circle of life that takes place in there. If the coral is disturbed, that has an impact on fish life, that has an impact on seabirds, that has an impact on marine mammals. There's a connection there to all of these species, and in Australia they drive a lot of tourism. They also drive fishing industries, and overseas coral reefs are sort of a source of life for a lot of islands, a lot of developing islands. If they lost their coral reefs, they simply wouldn't be able to survive. So they're absolutely important, critically important ecosystems around the world, coral reefs.
Now, is it you or is it the actual universities that are going forward with this the sun shield?
So the Great Barrier Reef Foundation is the lead charity for the Great Barrier Reef, and so we enable science projects to deal or address with the threats that face the Great Barrier Reef and coral reefs around the world. So we've been an enabler or a funder or a backer, I guess, of this initiative, and we've been delighted with the really promising start that this project has had. So this is a joint research project between the Australian Institute of Marine Science and the University of Melbourne. And a couple of years ago, we convened a workshop with a group of scientists from around Australia to try to understand and unlock some out-of-the-box thinking, different ideas that may be able to address some of the threats, such as climate change, thermal, intolerance of corals, and water quality to coral reefs. And one of the ideas that came through was the concept of a sun shield, something that could be sprayed or deployed on the surface of the ocean that could cut down the amount of UV and heat that's actually penetrating and affecting the corals. And from that idea, this research project was born, and the very first part or first stage of that testing has shown considerably promising results, with a cut down of 30% of the UV light coming through. And when they've tested that in the laboratory, corals that would have bleached without the film did not bleach. So it showed that that 30% cut down was enough to protect some coral reefs. So it really was quite a powerful shield that protect these corals in a vital state.
What is bleaching? Because when we think of bleaching, we kind of hear about kind of the acidity levels going up, and there's, you know, the Adani mine and things like that. And so I think the way we perceive it, just as the general public, is that the acidity levels are rising and that somehow bleaches the coral. But what you're talking about is actually kind of more protection from the sun. So I was wondering, how does that kind of fit in? Because what is bleaching?
So there's a combination thing. So if we start with the threat, is climate change. And how the climate change is manifesting, or how that threat is manifesting on the reef, is in three ways. The first is the water temperatures are increasing. And corals, they're fussy little things. They like their water to stay within a certain range of temperature. When the water gets too hot, they bleach. They have a zooxanthellae. There's a sort of a symbiotic relationship in corals. And what happens is when the water gets a little bit hot, they expel their life partner. And that is an algae that then floats around. But that algae is a food source to coral, and it gives coral its color. So when you see a bleached coral, you're not actually seeing dead coral. You're seeing coral that's extremely stressed. It's lost its food source, and it's not coping with the increased heat. If those hot days continue for a number, say 30 days, that zooxanthellae will no longer be able to live without its host, and the coral will starve, and then you will see coral loss. So bleaching coral is a precursor to coral loss. And so that is absolutely directed only to, or tied to, a warming of the water. And that's why this sun shield concept is directly tied to combat the impacts of bleaching. The other two ways that climate change is playing out on coral reef health is ocean acidification, just the long-term excess carbon that is landing in the water, that's being absorbed in the water, is increasing the acid levels. And acid, when mixed with some of the elements within the ocean, makes a weak acid, and that actually is not conducive to good coral health. There's a slow burning challenge that's facing coral reefs. It's not going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, but in a longer period of time, if we don't address the ocean acidification issue, we will start to see a stunting of growth on corals, and longer term, we will see corals that just are unable to grow because the conditions are not conducive to it. The third threat of how climate change is playing out is just an increased number of large cyclones, so extreme weather that's hitting the reef at a larger scale and with more frequency than ever before. So when we talk about climate change being a challenge for coral reefs, there's three ways that that's manifesting: coral bleaching, ocean acidification, and extreme weather.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Ora.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.